He built his home in the 1940s. The makeover provided by Meals on Wheels Central Texas's home repair program allowed him to continue living in his own home. Overton served in the Pacific Theater from 1942 to 45 as a part of the all-black 1887th Engineer Aviation Battalion. When asked about the secret of a long life, Overton glanced at his cigar and said, "Don't give up, keep on living." So stand tall, Richard Austin. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll begin the second hour by continuing our review of Beau Boggiano's book, Fighting Today's Wars, Why We Need to Protect Our Combat Troops Before We Send Them into Combat. Then we'll review Sam Kleiner's book about World War II heroes, The Flying Tigers. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, Military History, and the Armed America Report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's spring. Go outside and run some wind sprints, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water, and finally put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Sliding around in sock feet is a pretty common activity in a Fisher house. You see, every year, thousands of kids stay here to be close to a wounded mommy or daddy receiving care at a military or VA medical center. It's a place where they can feel at home when they're not, and where kisses and hugs are only minutes away instead of time zones, which, for a kid with a soldier as a parent, is an unfamiliar luxury. To learn more about the Fisher House Foundation and how you can help, go to fisherhouse.org today.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
House Speaker Paul Ryan said today he supports the Justice Department's decision to have an inspector general review if the FBI had an informant in the presidential campaign of President Donald Trump.
Having the IG report is very important, and giving the IG the latitude to take the investigation where it needs to go. Having the U.S. attorney from Utah attached to the IG to give them the kind of tools they need to go after any abuses is important. And what matters to us is the Article 1 branch of government conducting oversight of the executive branch is that we do get these document requests honored. Look, FISA abuse is a serious issue. We, the people, the Congress, have given the executive branch a lot of power.
Currently, President Trump is hosting the South Korean president today at the White House to discuss the recent developments regarding North Korea. Currently, the Dow Jones is down right around 40 points. For all those stories and more, please remember, check us out online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop. I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
I used to wonder why people took their own pillows into the hotels with them till I got on my pillow, and I go everywhere with mine. Stays cool all night, keeps its shape, 60-day money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-951-8175. Use promo code USA.
President Trump and his team are asking that Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation be wrapped up by September 1st. Reason being because of the midterm elections and any possible influence his outcome may have. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says this is a right play by Team Trump.
He's got now a window to do certain things by September 1. Then September 1 to Election Day has got to be a dark period. The only person who didn't respect that was Jim Comey, by the way. And then after the election, if he's not finished, he can pick up from there. So I think September 1 is an interim deadline, unless he feels like he can get everything done by then. My sense of it, George, is that he won't get everything done by then, but he will go dark during that period because Bob Mueller follows the Justice Department rules. He's been good on this, and he should be seen as an independent force here. I think he has been, and let's let him do his job.
That audio courtesy of ABC's Good Morning America. And finally, former President Jimmy Carter believes President Donald Trump is worthy of the Nobel Peace Prize if negotiations with North Korea are successful. This is USA Radio News.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty, even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Nearly 2 in 3 Americans think the economy is in good shape, and most of them do believe that President Trump's policies have had something to do with that. Maddie Doppler is president of Forward Strategies. She has some advice for those Republicans running in the midterm election.
Americans feel the economy really more than they even think about the economy. Voters are smart. They know exactly what their paychecks look like, what they're paying in taxes. But really, we know this from the last several cycles.
We're starting to find some details out about the Santa Fe, Texas school shooter. Now, it turns out that he was rejected by a girl that he was into, I guess you could say, and also was publicly humiliated by the same girl. But what really forced him to snap based on that rejection? I mean, we all have to deal with rejection from time to time. I had a chance to sit down and chat with Robert Sapolsky. He's a neurobiologist. He says the reaction we saw on Friday is not uncommon.
Well, what we see is like a really common tendency in us and all sorts of other primates and social organisms, which is we displace aggression. One of the like greatest predictors of when some organism is going to be awful to another one is when the first one is frustrated or in pain or afraid. And the pattern that you see is it's real easy to take it out on somebody smaller and weaker or unarmed.
Speaking of evil, it was 1 year ago this day that the Manchester Arena was bombed during an Ariana Grande concert. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Folks, United American Patriots supports our brave American troops who, for wildly inappropriate reasons, have been jailed for murder by our military because they shot the enemy. That sounds crazy, but it's true. Here's what we have for you this hour. This is the third part of a four-week review of the book Fighting Today's Wars, as we discuss the conditions that I believe the author believes must exist before we send our troops into combat. Then we're going to learn about the Flying Tigers, some real World War II heroes, and of course we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Bo Bolgiano. Bo is an Army vet and a former police officer and an attorney. He co-authored the book Fighting Today's Wars on the topic of the conditions that we must demand before we send our young men and women into harm's way in battle. Welcome back, Bo.
Thank you, Danny.
Bo, we covered a couple of key issues last week. Why don't you give us a little bit of a summary of that before we get into today's topics?
Yeah, we were talking a lot about the notion of national sovereignty. And I'll give an example to recap last week. Back in the late 90s, the United States bombed Serbia, and Serbia was involved in a messy, bloody civil war with a Muslim-based insurgency in its Kosovo province. Serbia's methods with dealing with the insurgency were violent and barbaric. I don't dispute that, but violence and barbarism were extant on both sides of that internal conflict. But Serbia presented no threat to the territorial integrity of surrounding nations and certainly no threat to the United States. Nonetheless, Bill Clinton ordered what he called the clean, painless surgical airstrikes into Belgrade. Well, they were clean, painless, and surgical only to those watching on television or from the safety of an air operations center 100 miles away. Betrayal and pain felt by the Serbs on the ground and collaterally Russia was nearly incomprehensible. If Kosovo historically was the site of the battleground where Serbs fought heroically to stem the Muslim tide in 1389 at the Battle of Kosovo, fought on St. Vitus Day. And that battle was just as critical as the Battle of Vienna, the Gates of Vienna in 1683, to keep Europe from being overrun by the Muslim hordes. If they did not win at Kosovo or at Vienna, we'd all be bowing down five times a day to Mecca. That's the unmitigated, unvarnished truth. But, you know, we look at the unintended consequences of that air campaign. It feeds Russia's concerns over the expansion of NATO and belies the claim that NATO is a defensive entity. That was a pure offensive action into a nation state that was not harming our country.
Well, and that's a good example of someplace we shouldn't go. Why would we put any of our troops, to include a bomber pilot who stays 40,000 feet in the air, at risk, because flying a bomber is dangerous just in routine practice, for any reason that does not make our country safer or keep it safe?
Yeah, no, and we have a contract, a social contract with our soldiers in particular, our citizens in general, but our soldiers in particular, that what they're doing is in our national interest. And that's part of the moral agency we owe our soldiers. So when they kill people in combat, it attenuates, it'll never get rid of, but it attenuates the nightmares and lots of bad experiences people have from combat, as we know throughout history. But if you don't give them that moral agency, saying affirmatively, you're killing people is for the good of the whole, it's for the good of our country, we're lost. And that's why we're seeing, in my opinion, a lot of the extreme PTSD effects of the last 17 years of war here.
Well said, sir. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the environment that our combat troops deserve before they're placed in combat with Bo Bolgiano. Bo, talk about rules of engagement.
Yeah, rules of engagement are simply a commander's tool, not a lawyer's tool, a commander's tool to put a governor on the time, amount of force, tools of the use of force, what weapon systems we will use in a particular military operation. They are never meant to inhibit as soldiers or units' God-given inherent right of self-defense. Never. And every ROE I've ever read specifically says that. Nothing in these rules will in any way impact a soldier, sailor, airman, marine right to use force, including deadly force, in self-defense or defense of innocent others. Yet what's happened is that tactical directives coming down and their application and the second guessing of soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines use of force has caused a stifling, a choking effect on that inherent right. And that must not be allowed to happen.
Clearly. And they're dumb things like you can't shoot unless somebody's shooting at you, or you can't shoot unless they're shooting at somebody. So the fact that they're setting up a machine gun or walking or transporting goods or ammunition or something, even though they're clearly the enemy, you can't shoot at them. Or stuff like that. Some rules of engagement make sense. Some restrictions and rules. Those kind of things are obscene. And they're all over the place, aren't they?
They are. And one of my professional heroes is Colonel W. Hayes Parks, a genius on the topic of rules of engagement and international law in these matters. He wrote a brilliant article in the New York University Journal of International Law and Policy on this very topic, and that's this. A insurgent or a criminal who's violating all the laws of war is a bomb maker at night. Okay, so he's putting together IEDs that are probably the biggest killer of our military forces since 2004. There are those in the international community and our own JAG Corps that say that we can't target that individual during the day when he's plowing a field, because they're saying that he's not then directly participating in armed conflict. Well, Hayes rightly points out, legally, that's an absurdity. These aren't playground rules. You can't say, oh, I'm on safe base now. You can't make me it. If you're a bomb maker at night, you're a bomb maker. And we ought to be targeting you wherever you are. And if you hide within your family, you're putting them at risk. And that's not happening to the extent it ought to be.
Amen, brother. Talk a minute about what I think you call the safety Nazis.
Yeah, this is, I'll tell a funny story. My co-author, Jim Patterson, was a command judge advocate at the time for one of our special mission units in the Army. And he had a master sergeant that was trying to go to the PX after a mission. And there was a rule on Balad Air Base. The base commander said you can't walk around or can't go into the PX unless you had these ridiculous safety belts on, these yellow glowing safety belts that you see joggers have here in the United States. Well, this master sergeant in this special mission unit walked up to the door of the BX, and there was a young NCO there guarding the door saying, you can't come in without your safety belt on. And the master sergeant said, yeah, I got it. I'm here to buy a safety belt. Well, the sergeant said, yes, but you can't come in without a safety belt. That's the colonel's orders. The master sergeant left without a belt or the sundries he came to get. You know, this type of micromanaging insanity is littered throughout our forces. And I could talk a whole episode on the sexual assault issue and how that's been extraordinarily overblown. But that safety belt thing is just one example of how the safety Nazis have destroyed just common sense within our military force.
Indeed. There's a special operator who's doing the job of the military who can't get a few things at the PX because of a safety Nazi. That's idiot. Anyway, there's still plenty to cover on how we must protect our combat troops, and Bo's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, hit the deck right now and rest. The starting position for the push-up is called the front-leaning rest. Get into that front-leaning rest position and think patriotic thoughts. Stay there till I return. I want you leaning me. As the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries, Spartan Nash and its MDV division are committed to supporting our military heroes and honoring those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our nation.
At Spartan Ash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it's our privilege to serve those who served. At our more than 140 retail grocery stores and 2,100 independent locations on Memorial Day and throughout the year.
To our Frontlines of Freedom listeners that served, thank you for your service.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. You hear the sound of breaking glass at 2 a.m. What should you do? Many people get a flashlight to investigate, but that could get you killed. Get your firearm immediately. Take up a defensive position in your safe room, then call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. The police can do the job they were trained for, and you and your family can stay safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
She seems happier. Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids,
flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our review of the book Fighting Today's Wars with author Bo Bolgiano. I like this next chapter. It makes it clear that our Army has way too many lawyers who spend their time trying to find combat soldiers who can be charged with a crime. When I was a combat in Vietnam, during both tours, I served half of the tour in a rifle company and the second half at division headquarters. And in 2 years, I never saw a JAG officer. I guess our government entrusted us back then to fight without being supervised by lawyers. And with all due respect, Bo, I know you're a lawyer, but yuck.
Take it from there. And let me just preface what I'm about to say. I don't like 95% of attorneys in the civilian world. Sorry, I just don't. I like 95% of the uniformed judge advocates out there, the young men and women that are trying to do the right thing. The problem is they're not getting the appropriate direction. They're not being given the competence to do their job right at the operational level. They're being thrown into a battalion or brigade and without being told, you know, understand your client, their job is to kill people. And I'll give an example recapping last episode. We were teaching up at the Defense Institute for International Legal Studies, and I brought in a team of special operators and SWAT police officers to use simmunitions. And simmunitions are a glorified paintball. They're meant to sting when they hit, and they're used to train poor tactics, poor judgment in close quarters combat. And during the training, some people got bruises because that's what simmunitions give you. It's effective training. It negatively reinforces bad decisions. Well, a colonel attorney came up to me and stopped my training as being unsafe. She said, "This is unsafe." Now, mind you, I had simmunition certified trainers. All the students had appropriate eye protection and groin protection, yet this JAG 06 stopped it as being unsafe. Well, I questioned, what was her level of competency? What was her basis of knowledge other than it just felt unsafe to her? Well, that in a nutshell is what's happening in combat as well. People are superimposing their feelings rather than a competent measure of reasonableness on our soldiers' actions.
Well, that sounds right. If you have a good young JAG or infantry officer or anybody, and you don't train them into understanding the culture they're going into and what their role is there, they're going to make it up. They're not going to stand there with their finger in the air. They're going to go out and do something, right?
Yeah, it's so true. And I'll give a story from the book that I was personally involved with, and it still to this day, 13 years later, 14 years later, just angers me till I turn purple. We captured boxes of AK-47s in Cosmoline, in other words, brand new AK-47s during our invasion of Iraq. We called back to John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center and School and said, "Hey, do you guys need some replacement AKs for your training inventory?" And they said, "Yes, absolutely." So I organized through customs, did all the appropriate paperwork as a good JAG should, so we could bring back these weapon systems. We also brought back a picture of Saddam, swords, flags, stuff like that to hang around our headquarters building. A JAG CID, Criminal Investigation Division Command, titled myself and my commander for larceny from the Iraqi people. In other words, she opined that we were guilty of stealing from the Iraqi people and put our names on a title block as suspects.
Huh?
Yes. Now, it gets better. Just by way of background, since the Revolutionary War and before in the French and Indian Wars, U.S. forces have historically returned home to their bases with war trophies and symbols of their success. If you walk down Ardennes Street, the home of the famed 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Bragg, you'll look into the brigade headquarters of the 504th Parachute Infantry Regiment, and you see Nazi memorabilia and trophies from World War II, or anti-aircraft guns from Manuel Noriega's Panamanian Defense Forces and Vietnamese weaponry. My dad brought back rifles and bayonets that he took off Japanese in the Pacific, some Marine in World War II. No one would dare then question the capture or even propose a return of such memorabilia. But here we are in 2004, my commander and me getting titled for theft for doing this. And here's the rub. Guess what? That JAG was the trial judge at Clint Lawrence's court-martial.
Oh, boy. There we are. Well, this is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing how to take care of our troops by not sending them into combat in a no-win situation. The next subject up is Chapter 10, The Law of Self-Defense. Bo, just by natural law, common sense, and everything else, everybody has the right to self-defense, don't they?
We all do. And our concept and our law comes from the English common law. An English philosopher, John Locke, observed this. Self-defense is a part of the law of nature, nor can it be denied the community, even against the king himself. Think about that. That's the Brits recognize this. Our Constitution reflects that in our Bill of Rights, explicitly protecting our rights to life, liberty, and property, and freedom from government intrusion. And this constitutional robustness of the inherent right of self-defense, that's the linchpin of this social contract between a government and its citizenry. And guess what? Our Standing Rules of Engagement recognizes that our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine have that inherent right to self-defense.
But if everybody's got it, how can we be having soldiers like Clint Lawrence being tried for shooting at people that reasonably are looking and acting like enemy?
The reason why is that policy is again trying to demand of tactics something it cannot give. People at the highest levels of our commands in theater now, usually the first two briefing slides at every battle update brief is CIVCAS, which means civilian casualties. So there's this heightened sensitivity of, you know, us killing civilians. Now, I absolutely get, and I'll be the first one to prosecute a soldier, sailor, airman, or marine that deliberately goes in and kills noncombatants, the My Lai scenario. But that's not what's happening here. These are situations where soldiers are making a quick judgment, a hasty threat assessment, exercising their inherent right of self-defense, and then being judged in the clear vision of 20/20 hindsight to fit the strategic objective.
Well said, my friend. And that wraps it up for today. Troops, I said we're going to continue reviewing the needs of this book for one more week. There's a lot more we owe to our troops. If you don't own a copy of the book, Fighting Today's Wars, go to Amazon and get one. Bo, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to our continuing this review next week.
Thank you, sir.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we're going to learn some amazing facts about the amazing World War II Flying Tigers. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gilliam. Troops, do 150 jumping jacks, then take a break and do 50 more, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money because it isn't customized to you. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress at a price you can afford. Here's how it works. Go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our 2-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress customized to your specific height, weight, and sleep preferences. And we can customize each side of the mattress. Because studies confirm optimal sleep is best achieved on a mattress custom built just for you. And with prices starting at just $600, there's no reason to look anywhere else. With financing as low as 0% and our 100-night sleep trial, your perfect mattress is only a few clicks away at HelixSleep.com. And during our Memorial Day sale, go to HelixSleep.com/custom and you'll get up to $150 towards your mattress order. That's HelixSleep.com/custom for up to $150 off your mattress order. HelixSleep.com/custom.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Trump is meeting with the South Korean president at the White House. The president was asked to update the status of the Singapore summit being held with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
We are working on something, and, you know, there's a chance that it'll work out. There's a chance, there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out. I don't want to waste a lot of time, and I'm sure he doesn't want to waste a lot of time. So there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it won't work out over a period of time, but it may not work out for June 12th. But there's a good chance that we'll have the meeting.
House Speaker Paul Ryan said today he supports the Justice Department's decision to have an inspector general review if the FBI had an informant in the presidential campaign of President Donald Trump.
Having the IG report is very important, and giving the IG the latitude to take the investigation where it needs to go. Having the U.S. attorney from Utah attached to the IG to give them the kind of tools they need to go after any abuses is important.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, troops. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And a Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who has died while serving our nation, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. HonorandRemember.org. Now it's a pleasure to welcome author Sam Kleiner. He's written an amazing and very accurate book about America's first World War II heroes, the Flying Tigers. These volunteer pilots worked with China to fight Japan at the beginning of World War II. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Sam.
Thank you so much for having me, Danny.
Sam, you're an interesting guy. You graduated from Yale Law School. You're not a veteran, and yet you motivated one of the more interesting World War II heroes pilots in our history. How'd you get there?
Thanks so much. I grew up kind of with an interest in World War II. My grandfather was a navigator on a B-25 in the Pacific Theater, and I grew up in Tucson, Arizona, and remember going out as a kid to the Pima Air and Space Museum with him and getting to see all the different planes and read just about every book I could find in World War II as a kid. Studied American history at Northwestern University and then went on to the University of Oxford where I did graduate work and really focused in on this period in World War II and American foreign policy. And I think part of the fascinating thing about this story is, you know, we tend to think of World War II, and, you know, the thing that gets taught in history classes is it goes from December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor, up through VJ Day. And a large part of the story is about how there's actually a whole lot more that's going on before that, including the formation of a unit called the American Volunteer Group that became the Flying Tigers. And the first thing I found that really grabbed me about the story, and I knew I had to write this book, was when I was at Yale in a basement, a collection of love letters between a nurse in the unit and a pilot, if you can believe it. And that's part of it at the core of the story is their relationship. And these tattered pages, you know, still told the story of what it was like to be this pilot and this nurse who were in the unit. And I ended up going and being kind of invited in by the Flying Tigers community. And I've been going to their reunions now for the past couple of years. There's only one surviving tiger left, but the families have shared with me a ton of stories and original documents that allow the story to be told in the right way and an accurate way. And that includes the original combat reports that, because this was an unauthorized kind of covert mission, didn't end up in the National Archives as they would for another unit. They ended up in this basement in Georgetown in Washington, D.C., and sitting in binders and basically collecting dust. And I've been able to go through those and piece together day by day what it was like to be one of the Flying Tigers. And I think this is just one of the great untold stories from the greatest generation.
Well, it really is. And you pointed out some really accurate things. Most human beings think the world began when they were born. And many of us, as you said, think World War II began when the United States got in. Well, it had been going on in Europe for almost 2 years, and I don't know when you want to say it started in Asia, when Japan started moving around in the early 1930s. So World War II had been going on for quite a long time, and the Flying Tigers were not official. They were volunteers. We had due deniability if we wanted to, but this is surprising.
Absolutely.
They worked with China, who was our ally in World War II, even though not our ally anymore, to help defeat the Japanese, and they did a good job, didn't they?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when we think of World War II, we think of images like, you know, the landing in Normandy on D-Day, or we think of the flag raising on Iwo Jima. But we typically don't think of China. And China was actually, you know, has been called kind of the forgotten ally of the war. And they had been fighting the Japanese. Kind of the conventional definition is that, you know, the war started there in 1937 with the Japanese invasion of China. And, you know, we kind of know about the Rape of Nanking, but the book tells the story of what it was like, what that war and the devastation of that war meant to China. And it tells it kind of through this interesting lens that I don't think most people know about, is that there had been a handful of American pilots who were fighting and advising the Chinese Air Force going back as far as 1937. And that includes Claire Chennault, who becomes the legendary commander of the Flying Tigers. And the Flying Tigers are kind of birthed out of desperation on the part of the Chinese, where they needed more planes and pilots. And they, at different points, had alliances or relationships with Nazi Germany, with the Italians, with the Soviets. And by 1941, when they're really getting pushed back, they need assistance, and they turn to the Americans. And so Chennault is involved in a series of meetings in Washington, D.C. in late 1940, early 1941, to get this set up, to get this secret mission birth. And there are kind of shell corporations and backroom deals to get the finances worked out for these planes. And this is all going to be done without any kind of official American imprint on it. These guys travel over to originally to Burma and then into China, and they're given identity cards that list false professions on them. A lot of them travel over on passports that say they're missionaries. Because we were at peace at the time, and we were neutral, and we couldn't just be sending over American pilots to fight in a foreign war, but that's exactly what we did.
We sure did, and quite successfully, too. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. We're discussing the book, The Flying Tigers, the subtitled The Untold Story of the American Pilots Who Waged a Secret War Against Japan. Sam, this is really an amazing book. We're going to give away a copy at the end of the show, but we got a couple of minutes left. Talk about a couple of the things that come out, you bring out in this book that most people probably have never heard of.
Absolutely. So going back to 1937, the Japanese had been waging these devastating war of bombing campaigns against major Chinese cities. And so the Flying Tigers spring into action after Pearl Harbor, and their first battle, and this is told in pretty vivid detail, is December 20th, 1941, where they take on a group of Japanese bombers that are attacking Kunming, a city in China, and they take down a number of Japanese bombers. And that story becomes very important in the U.S. You know, most Americans can't pin Kunming on a map, but the idea that there are American pilots basically behind enemy lines taking on the Japanese and winning was important because America felt at this moment, you know, after the devastation at Pearl Harbor and a series of losses across the Pacific, that this war might be unwinnable. There was concern about, you know, an invasion of the West Coast and blackouts in cities like San Francisco. And here come this kind of ragtag band of pilots that we didn't really know anything about, and they seize the American imagination. John Wayne rushes out this movie. But for decades, the real and authentic story of the Flying Tigers has been left in these diaries and letters and photographs and combat reports. And It's been the privilege of a lifetime to kind of get to assemble that and put it together. And along the way, to make a very close friend with the last surviving flying tiger, Frank Lazonski, who was a crew chief who now lives down in Georgia. And it means so much to me to have this book come out. And I was just down with him a couple weeks ago and getting to actually show him the finished book after I've been working on it for years, and to see the reaction from him, that for him to feel like his story was told accurately.
Indeed. I got one more question for you. Whose idea was it to pull together a group, the Flying Tigers, and take them over there? Where did that idea come from?
It's funny, they say, victory has many fathers. And so I think that, there's a lot of different people would say that it was their idea. But, in some ways, it really comes from the Chinese government. And Chenault was heavily involved in drafting up the documents to build up this idea. And then they worked with people in the Roosevelt administration, particularly Secretary Morgenthau, who was Secretary of the Treasury and very involved in U.S. foreign policy towards China, to get this off the ground and to get the tigers flying. But, there's so much more richness I wish I could share with readers. But, the book is available wherever books are sold, including on Amazon. And there's a lot more in there, including unpublished photographs that have never been seen before. And you can check out more on the website, flyingtigersbook.com. And I hope that readers enjoy it. And it's wonderful to be able to honor the legacy of this incredible unit.
Boy, do I agree. It is an awesome book. And troops, as I said, we're going to give away a copy of this book at the end of the show. And if you don't get one, as Sam just said, go find a copy. You're going to love this one. And it's part of what we can do for our kids and our grandkids, helping them understand the real history of the world and of our nation. Sam, thank you for taking time to join us today and taking time to share this. Thank you for the way you are promoting the history of our nation and honoring those who have fought to serve it and preserve it. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for your service, and thank you for making the time to talk about this.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag, then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be about 100 pounds by now, and do about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease. Do you know about the Skyball? It's something the Air Power Foundation puts on to help them do wonderful things for our active military, Guard and Reserves, veterans, and their families, and especially for the families who have lost a parent in combat. How can you not love this outfit? Well, we'll be working with them to help them accomplish their mission. So stay tuned to Frontlines of Freedom over the next weeks. We'll be giving you more and more information about how you can be involved and help.
For those who have loved ones serving in the military, waiting is a way of life, whether it's by the phone or by the computer. And waiting is not fun, especially when the waiting is for the status of an unexpected injury. Fisher Houses give families of wounded warriors receiving care at military or VA medical centers a home away from home, so they can focus not on waiting, but on being together in a time of need. Learn more at fisherhouse.org.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Jane from Texas has noticed that you occasionally interview veterans who are running for office. She'd like to know how you pick them.
Jane, as a general rule, I pick candidates for Congress who have been endorsed by Combat Veterans for Congress, a nonpartisan group whose values I totally share. I strongly believe that we need many more people in Congress who have not only worn our nation's uniform, but have been in battle. They will not send our troops into battle needlessly or without appropriate rules of engagement.
Peg from Florida wants to know if you really, really think it would be good for our nation to build a wall along our Mexican border.
Peg, yes, I absolutely do. We are getting many illegal aliens into our nation daily, virtually all of whom are immediately drawing welfare. Further, many come with contagious diseases. Others bring in illegal drugs or women who will be sold as prostitutes, and that's not counting the terrorists. We will likely save the cost of a wall in welfare alone in just a few years, plus we'll see a huge decrease in crime. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, the other day I was thinking about my old first sergeant, Robert Cook. I was a brand new captain, newly married, and just back from a tour in Vietnam when I assumed command. Top, as first sergeants are called in the Army, had been in that company for nearly 15 years, except for a one-year tour in Vietnam as an advisor. He gently taught me how to run a company. One day I learned just how much he had taught me. I was inspecting one of the platoons during a Saturday morning inspection. All the troops had all the equipment and other items needed for a quick deployment displayed on their bunks. This was called a junk-on-the-bunk inspection. I looked at a fresh bar of soap on a bunk and gently squeezed it. It was fine. The platoon sergeant asked me what I was doing, and I explained that back at West Point, some 5 or 6 years ago, one summer some troops had come in to help train us. One platoon taught us squad and platoon tactics. The sergeants later taught us how to inspect soldiers in barracks. It was explained that some troops would use a razor blade to cut the bottom of a soap wrapper and use the soap to avoid having to buy a new bar of soap, because privates weren't paid much back in those days of the draft. The way to check this was to squeeze the bar. Well, the platoon sergeant was the guy who taught me about squeezing soap bars. He'd been a squad leader in a platoon with my now new first sergeant as the platoon sergeant. Yes, they had been at West Point that summer, and they had taught me both tactics and how to do inspections. After a few laughs, I reminded them they'd better like the way I run the company because they taught me how to do it.
Colonel, that reminds me of my first sergeant. You know, you were above the first sergeant. I was below the first sergeant.
I believe that.
And there's a little bit of difference there.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I don't know. I've never been below him. You've never been above him.
Well,
how do you know?
That's true. But I got to watch.
Oh, okay. Well, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 23 May 1777, during the Revolutionary War at Sag Harbor, New York, Patriot troops under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Meigs captured several British vessels and burned redcoat supplies. With the help of two local men, Meigs and his Connecticut raiders grabbed the British commander from his bed in the wee hours of the morning, firing only one gunshot. Instead of guns, the Patriots used bayonets to capture the British fort, avoiding announcing their presence with gunfire. The British had built their fort on the site of a burial ground because it was the highest land in the area and had the best view of the harbor. This desecration of grave sites was resented. With 6 redcoats dead and 53 captive, the Patriots moved towards the harbor. The British ships there eventually noticed the men moving towards them and opened fire. The Patriots, though, went on to burn 24 British ships and their cargoes of hay, rum, grain, and other merchandise. With an additional 37 prisoners in custody, the 170 Yankee raiders returned to Connecticut without having lost a single man. The Sag Harbor ambush was the only successful Patriot attack on Long Island between the British takeover in 1776 and their departure in 1783.
And on 25 May 1864, during the Civil War, a boat crew from the USS Massabesset made an unsuccessful attempt to destroy Confederate state ships CSS Albemarle in the Roanoke River near Plymouth, North Carolina. After crossing the Middle River with two 100-pound torpedoes, sailors Charles Baldwin and John Lloyd swam across the Roanoke carrying a tow line with which they hauled the torpedoes to the Plymouth shore. Baldwin planned to swim down to the target and position a torpedo on either side of her bow. Across the river, another sailor would then explode the weapons. However, Baldwin was discovered by a sentry when within a few yards of the Albemarle, and the daring mission had to be abandoned.
It's a shame, too.
Yeah, it was really cool.
On 25 May 1945, during World War II, the American Chiefs of Staff set November 1, 1945, as the start date for the invasion of Japan. Operation Olympic. But the Japanese surrendered on 2 September, and thankfully, the plan became unnecessary.
You know, I'd seen an estimate that it would probably cost over 1 million Allied lives and over 1 million Japanese lives if we'd had to do that invasion.
Yeah, I've seen that too, and I'm sure it's probably correct.
Well, that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Swansboro, North Carolina lost a little of its small-town charm one day in February when a law enforcement officer and someone he had pulled over for a traffic violation got into a tussle. Fortunately for Officer Aaron Thompson, an armed citizen who was not too far behind prevented the situation from escalating. Thompson had been on patrol when he had noticed a box truck being driven erratically. The vehicle pulled over when Thompson flashed his lights and siren, but when the officer exited his car, the truck driver took off. Thompson caught up and the vehicle stopped again. This time the police officer ordered the driver out of the truck and took him to the side of the road where the culprit started fighting or pulling away from the officer, according to Swansboro Police Chief Ken Jackson. A passing armed citizen saw the two men wrestling in the roadside ditch. He stopped his car, grabbed his Smith & Wesson handgun, and yelled at the ex-scoundrel to stop resisting. Upon noticing the gun, the suspect complied.
Funny how that happens, isn't it, Colonel?
Yeah, I think I might relate to that.
Well, Colonel, as more and more Americans are deciding to get armed and trained in the art of concealed carry, this scenario is playing out all across the country. 30 years ago, law enforcement was told that if regular citizens were to carry guns, that it would make the job of police officers more dangerous. Over the decades, incidents like this have proven the opposite to be true. An armed and licensed concealed carry holder is much more likely to render aid to an officer than to harm him. However, if you're going to stop and help a law enforcement officer either to save him or to assist in subduing a violent suspect, here are some guidelines to follow. 1. Unless you are physically strong and trained in close quarters combat, avoid getting close to the violent criminal. He has already overpowered a trained police officer, so he can probably handle you as well. 2. When you draw your firearm, be sure to check out all the angles. If you miss your shot, where will the bullet go? Be careful not to hit innocent bystanders, cars, or the police officer you're trying to help. 3. Once you decide to shoot, don't hold back. Don't shoot the wound. Fire as many shots as needed to stop the threat against the officer. And 4, when other police arrive, they may not perceive you as a good guy. As soon as you and the officers are safe, holster and conceal your pistol. If responding officers see you pointing a gun in the direction of their comrade, you may be shot and killed. More importantly, obey the commands of all police officers. This armed citizen from North Carolina did a great job, and the police officer is still alive and out on the streets, fighting crime as proof.
Somehow, Skip, that doesn't seem to be covered by the mainstream media.
No, it doesn't, and it won't.
I think you're right. Our movie of the month is A Note of Triumph, the Norman Corwin story. There's a military link to this. Please go to the Frontlines of Freedom website and go to the blog on that site and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd really appreciate your input for that review. Our book giveaway this week is Sam Klinger's book, The Flying Tigers. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put the Flying Tigers in the subject line. And next week is our Memorial Day show on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll learn about the activities of Honor and Remember as they honor those who have died while serving our nation. Then we'll meet a combat veteran who's running for Congress, Jeff Dove. We'll also conclude our review of Bo Bolgiano's book, Fighting Today's Wars, about standards we must demand to protect our troops before sending them into combat. And we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please do check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you or your friends had guard, KP, or other duties that forced you to miss any part of this show, hey, all of our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Frontlines of Freedom. Do join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the Frontlines of Freedom. Dismissed. United American Patriots wants to spread the message of hope across the United States by providing service members that have been wrongfully